Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message. See you at church.
Good morning. For those that don't know me, my name's Scott, and I'm the very, very blessed individual that gets to be married to the lady that was talking earlier. So you get both of us today. So she set the bar pretty high, but let's see how we go. So for those that don't as well know me, I've been part of this church now for over 12 years. Come from Adelaide and met my lovely wife up here, now married for 12 years, and she's doing a master's in secondary education, so she's a lot smarter than me. And then I run a business in Adelaide selling electric bikes, of all things, so which keeps me very, very busy. But one of my greatest passions, is my family. But also God's kingdom. You know, it's a lot more important than any business or anything else we do with our time. God's kingdom is eternal. I think that's probably the most satisfying thing, knowing you're walking in God's will. Going back many years when I met Naomi, I did say to myself, I'm never, ever, ever going to live in Murray Bridge. And you've probably heard me say that before. Then I do. But one of the biggest things I think moving from Adelaide to Bridgewater to Murray Bridge was in Bridgewater I felt like I was a really, really good gardener. You planted something and it would just grow. And then I moved to Murray Bridge and I realized I was a horrible gardener. Because anything I planted, it died. I've come to learn the last, 7 years living in Murray Bridge, how to garden. You know, I think about when we built our house, it was just a paddock, and I thought I was incredibly blessed with this lush green thing that grew across my yard during summer, thinking this is beautiful, it's green with these tiny little yellow flowers, and thinking to myself, I'm a good gardener. Look at this, middle of summer, and I'm growing this green lush thing, which if you've already cottoned on, it's cow trot, which I regretted riding over with my ride-on mower and spraying it everywhere, but anyway, still paying for that one. But I've learned a lot about gardening. I think about my rose. If I start with my Kaikuya lawn, I picked well. It just grows like a weed, which is probably good for me. And that's slowly been taken over my yard. And then I decided I was going to plant some rose plants. I like the smell of roses. Hate lavender bushes, but Naomi loves them, so she prevails. So I've got my rose bushes, and we've had these things in for a couple of years, and probably for whatever respect feels like we're just keeping these things alive. Absolute flower envy when we drive down the street and you see these people with these lush gardens and these blooms of roses just coming off, and every part of me just wants to stop and have a conversation and go, how do you do it? How do you have these flowers? And meanwhile, every time we got one flower, it was just like, honey, we've got a flower on this rose bush, just one. Slowly but surely, I acquired a large volume of agapanthers, because everyone knows agapanthers are impossible to kill, right? They're not. So I dug up all these agapanthers. I got hundreds of these things, and I thought, I'm going to put them down my driveway. Apparently, they're impossible to kill. So, you know, periodically, I'd go out with the hose, and sure enough, half of them died. And I guess, consequently, I've learned a lot since then about gardening. I've learnt little things that just going out periodically for a 5 minute water with a hose doesn't actually really do much, because it just sits all on the top and doesn't get down to the roots. If I think about my agapanthus, that's ended up why they died, is because all the runners were at the top where the water was. But when you'd get hot spells in Murray Bridge, which conveniently happens quite frequently, they would just die off. And so I've learned the importance of my drippers, mulching, which I have to admit, mulching, to be honest with you, is only this revelation of the last 6 months chatting to the guys at Serenity Gardens, going, what do I got to do to keep these things alive? And the difference it makes is phenomenal. So putting drippers in, mulching, I should have got a photo of my flowers. I've got this one rose bush and there'd have to be 15 on there, which for me is just incredible. But I've learned a lot about gardening, and this morning, that's what I want to talk to you about, is gardening, but more from a spiritual aspect. If I think about driving between Adelaide to Murray Bridge every day, I love winter because the hills are all green and lush, and all it takes is one heat wave a week after all that green lush and it's brown. And then that brown turns to dust and dries out. But then there's this thing that happens as you're coming into Murray Bridge. You start to see the green, and there's no big trees. But then you get in along the river and you see all these giant big trees along the river. And I love big trees, especially coming from Bridgewater. And so it was this weird thing when you drive through Murray Bridge and, like, you get big trees, but they're just... they're scattered until you get to the river. So with that in mind, I'm going to read from a parable which I think most of us know in Matthew chapter 13, which is the parable of where the farmer scatters the seed. I'm sure we've all heard it. We've heard it before. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I believe it's going to come up. You've done well, Sophie. It's up on the screen. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. And he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. He scattered them across his field, and some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. I can relate to that. My dog sits in this one spot in the corner on the lawn. It drives me crazy because there's this section. For whatever reason, he sits there and I can't grow grass. Drives me crazy. So this footpath, the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. If I think about my agapanthus, I can relate to that one where, again, I thought, do you know what? I've planted this plant that cannot be killed, apparently. And sure enough, after planting, it didn't matter if the roots didn't get down deep enough and there was just hard, rocky soil underneath. They just would die. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Oh, that cow trot. Still, others' seed fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as being planted. And anyone with ears should listen and understand. Verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seeds that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but are all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. I've read that verse so many times, and every single time I read it, my mind is drawn to the point of witnessing, the evangelistic side of this scripture. And over the last couple of weeks, as I was preparing and praying and thinking about this morning's message, God showed me a different thought, a different side of that scripture. As I was mulching my yard and pulling out weeds and praying over this message, I had this realization of that we can play a part in the way that we are cultivated in our spirit with Christ. You know, if I think about the fact that that seed is planted, and then the things in the environment around makes a big difference. I was thinking about why some things are easy to grow and some's not. I was reflecting back to Bridgewater, where I felt like everything just grew amazingly. I mean, it rained every third day, but then in Murray Bridge, it just felt like nothing would grow. And I had this realization that our environments can really affect how we grow. And then I had this other realization, and that is that God wants us to grow. So an environment can affect us, and the fact that God wants us to grow. As many of you are aware, and if you don't know, the last 12 months of this church has been a hard 12 months. There's been plenty of ups and downs, but with the passing of Pastor Vic to cancer, it's been a hard journey. And if I'm very, very transparent, if I reflect back over that time, there's been seasons over that 12 months where it's been, for me, spiritually dry, and then times where it's just, I feel like I've been in the depths and mercy of God surrounding me with his love. And, you know, and the thing I had this revelation is I just wanted to share this morning was in around that spiritual watering. You know, maybe this morning or over the last couple of months you felt spiritually dry, but I feel like God's wanting to wet in the soil, go deep. And one of the things I've learned about gardening is that if I don't water my garden for a very, very long time, when I go to water it, what happens with the water when it goes on the soil? It just sits on the top. It I don't even know what you'd call it, but it just sits on top. It just sits there and takes forever to sink in and to start to saturate that soil. It's why I've always hated when it just pours down quickly, because it just runs off. It doesn't go deep and penetrates. But God wants it to run deep into you this morning. So we're never supposed to hear God's word, hold on to it, and not grow. We are supposed to accept the good news and let it sustain us and let it grow in us. For the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree. It grows into something big. And God wants our faith and that word to go deep and to keep on growing bigger. And one of the things to grow into a big tree is you need to be sustained by a water source, which is why if you go down to Sturt Reserve, you go down and have a look, there's all these big, beautiful gum trees, these big, I just love it. It's probably my favourite thing about going down to Sturt's is just seeing these big trees. And the reason why they can grow so big is they've got those deep roots feeding off the river, And see, river, I was about to say the word water. I'm trying to do too many things at once. And water's important. See, water is the sustenance of life. itself. If we think about our world's obsession with searching for life on other planets, what is one of the key things they're always looking for? Water. Water sustains life. And just as much as water sustains life, we as Christians need that source, that water, which is the Holy Spirit. We need to be embedded into Him. So this morning I wanted to go through a couple of points that through prayer that I thought would be really good to share about ways that we can cultivate and to help us go spiritually deeper and to sustain ourselves with our relationship with Christ. And I can imagine to do them all starting with D, and I used a slight bit of creativity, but they all start with D. So how do we allow ourselves to be watered and connected to Christ so we're not spiritually dry? The first thing is, if we find ourselves in a spot where we're spiritually dry, one of the things that I found myself doing was just discussing it with Christ. Just being honest with Him. Going, Jesus, do you know what? I feel dry. I feel spiritually, I just feel like I'm just disconnected. I feel like I'm going through the motions. I feel like I'm just doing a religious ceremony on a Sunday. I'm just rocking up, ticking some boxes, doing my thing. I'm just being spiritually dry. So one of the things that I think that if you're in a place of spiritual dryness, is the first thing is discuss it with Jesus. Just be honest. Have a conversation with Him. Psalms 41:2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Call out to Jesus. Talk with Him. Discuss it with Him. I think it's an amazing thing. You know, we think about a lot of things, right? We think, but to actually discuss it. And pray and to talk to Jesus. The next thing that really helped me when I think about when I've journeyed through this and getting through this, because at the same time, if you think about dryness, it's a season, right? You're never supposed to go through a dry spell and stay there. If we think about the seasons of earth, it goes through summers and droughts, but then winters with rain. It's supposed to be a season. The second one is devotion in God's Word. To me, devotion in God's Word is like deep watering your garden. It's putting on your soakers, it's putting in that slow drip, and it's allowing to get really deep down into your soul. Like my roses out the front, I've put two lines of drippers along the side so that when the mulch on top keeps the moisture in but allows the water to go deep in. I found myself too often with my hose spraying all over and half the moisture went everywhere except for down into where the roots were. Devotions with God, God's Word, allows us to connect to the source. It allows us to read His truths. And it speaks differently to words, but it speaks to our soul. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. And if you haven't been reading your word for a while, which if we're very, very honest with everyone here, let's be honest, it happens from time to time. We fall into bad habits. It is like dry soil. It's like reading sometimes and you're going, what is this? It's dry soil. But keep on pressing in, keep on reading God's word, because that dryness will turn to moist soil and will penetrate deep down into your roots. The next one is dig out your weeds. We've all got weeds in our gardens. If I think about my garden at home, to get rid of the weeds, I have to run around, get on my grass runners because I planted Kikuyu lawn, which turns out is probably not the best for garden beds, but anyway. I've got to go through, pull out my kikuyu runners. I've got to get all the weeds out of the garden because if I leave it in too long, they start to seed and then there's only going to be more weeds. And so I've got to keep on top of it. I walk up and down all summer getting rid of my cow trot, just one by one, pulling out this... I still don't even know why God created it, but anyway, pulling out cow trot out of the garden, because again, if you leave that in too long, it can seed, and if for some reason it slips past me and seeds, I burn it just to make sure it has no chance of life. So we've got to pull out our weeds, and. Like in the parable where some of the seeds fell among the thorns, if we don't pull out the weeds in our life, they can strangle us. They can hold us back. They can hold back the growth of what God's called for you in your life. You know, we have an amazing gift given to us by Christ's mercy, His grace of Him dying on that cross, that we can be forgiven for our sins. But we don't take advantage of that by living in sin, but it's by God's grace. It makes us want to live a more pure and holy life and to pull out the weeds. One thing I've noticed really, really interesting about weeds, if you don't go look for them, you don't realize that they're even starting to grow. And then by the time you go, by the time you notice them, they're already a really big weed sometimes. And then to pull them out, you've got to dig deeper to get the root system out of the ground. And I think that sometimes can be like us, that if we don't take time to pray to God and to seek God and go, God, where are those sneaky little weeds coming into my life? Where are those ones that I need to pull out? And because God, if we think about gardening and the vine, He talks about how He cuts every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that don't bear fruit so we can produce even more. So we need to dig out the weeds. The next one is, don't distance yourself. If I think about one of the funny things that we do in when we're spiritually dry is we tend to distance ourselves. If we think about Murray Bridge with those gum trees along the river, they grow so big and so lush because they're close to the water source. The further you get away from the water source, what happens? The trees get smaller. They don't grow as well. I think about my garden. All the grass near my garden grows better than the grass that's in the middle because it gets the most amount of water. The further you get away, the harder it is going to be for you to grow. Jeremiah 17:8 says, they are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. How many times when you're spiritually dry, you pull back from those around you? You know, the reason why we're in a church is we weren't designed to be solo in this walk. God created the church so we could be united and we could grow together. We can be open and vulnerable together. See, Matthew 18:20 says, for when two or three are to gather together as my followers, I am among them. If you're feeling spiritually dry, don't push people away. Don't disconnect yourself. Don't distance yourself from the garden, from the river. Come closer to the river because you will grow better. Psalms 1 says, oh, the joys of those who don't know. Do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around the sinners or join with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. The next thing, if I think about when you're spiritually dry, is that I declared God's truth over myself. Declared God's truth over myself. You know, and I kind of liken that if I think about my gardening, it's kind of like the mulching. So that when the moisture's going into the ground, the mulch is going over the top, but that acts as a layer to protect that from drying out. And if I think about God's scripture and the truth that's in his scripture, it's there to mulch us, protect us, so that when we're not feeling like it, we can speak it over our lives, that we are God's children, we are his heirs, we can be mulched by his truths. Because if we do that, Romans 8:38 says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And if we speak those truths over us, it allows us to mulch us, to keep us moist during those drought and those harder times. The next one. Again, I've done well with the D's. Is drink of the cup. Drink of the cup. This, to me, is like the fertilizer. And that is quite simply, live like Jesus. So at that point of feeling dry, and amongst everything else, is making that decision just to live like Jesus. Jesus talks about drinking from his cup. Taking on what he has taken on, we got to live like him. As we decide to live more like Jesus, we'll become more like him and less like the weeds, less like the sin. We'll start to grow and become more like him. John 7:37 to 39 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes me may come and drink, for the scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living waters, he was speaking of the Spirit. So who would be given to everyone believing in him? But the Spirit had not been given yet, because Jesus had not entered his glory. But Jesus has entered his glory, and his Spirit is flowing if we drink from it. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, in the same way that Jesus walked. If you're feeling dry this morning, it actually doesn't mean you're a bad person or a bad Christian. Dry seasons have a beginning, but they also have an end. Jesus doesn't want you to stay in that dry season. He wants you to live in depth with your roots connected to the source so that you can grow into what it is Christ has called you to be. He doesn't want us to be dry. He wants us to grow. The last thing that if I think about, which is almost the thing, but if I look across this room, I know a lot of us have already done this, is to actually get connected to the source, the first thing we need to do is to dedicate ourselves to Jesus, to give our lives to him. And if you haven't done that this morning, I just thought I'd take the opportunity to invite you in. Maybe you feel dry, maybe you feel lost, maybe you feel, I don't know what's going on in this world, but through Christ, we can be connected to his source. We can take away those weeds, the things that separate us from God. And through Jesus, when he died on that cross, he was able to create that bridge between a life that was filled of pain, death, and hopelessness, and build a bridge for us to be connected in one with the love of Christ. The best decision I ever did was give my life to Christ. As a young age, of a teenager, I had a real revelation of who Jesus was. And since then, I've been trying to be connected to him. My goodness, life has been amazing. This morning, I did want to give everybody an opportunity that if you hadn't given your life to Christ, was I would love to pray with you if you'd like to. So if I could invite everybody just to bow their heads and shut their eyes for a second, and those that have already done it, can I encourage you to pray right now? And if you haven't given your life to Christ and you would like to get connected to that source, why don't you give me a wave and I'm happy to pray with you, and we'll pray all together. Beautiful. We'll just give it a moment. Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for you putting your hand up this morning, because, you know, that is the one thing the kingdom of God celebrates every single time, is when somebody comes into the fold. And it is an absolute celebration. Although it feels like a solemn moment right now, it's not. It's an absolute celebration. Like a seed is planted, it takes time for the roots to grow. Fertilize it connect to that source. Talk to your friends that are also believers that you've made that decision to reconnect and to connect to the source. What I'd love to do is I'd love to pray together. If you could repeat after me to pray together with this individual. So if we all say, Dear Jesus, I recognize that right now I'm not living the right way. But Lord, Jesus Christ, I know you are the right way. And I pray that you forgive me of my sins. You plant that seed deep in my heart. Jesus, please fertilize it. Water it, and I pray that you grow inside me. I pray you lead me, teach me, and allow me to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. The other people I wanted to pray for this morning, maybe you feel a bit dry this morning. And you know what? That is okay. Really is okay. The first step, I think, to getting that moisture back into your life, allow the Spirit to flow, is that very first point of where I said discussing it with Jesus. And I just want to encourage you this morning to go home. I don't feel like this is actually an altar call, because I think this is something you personally need to do with Christ. Okay, you need to make this happen. Not me from a pulpit, but you need to go home. I want you to pray and just talk with Jesus casually and go, Jesus, that was me. I am dry and I'm not happy with that. And I want to get moist. I want to be connected back to the source. May you flow through me. So I want you to pray about it. And then the other thing I want you to do, there's another real simple thing right now, and that is I want you to make sure that you're not distancing yourself from those around you. And I want you to talk with a close friend, a leader. I want you to talk to them about it, and so that you can journey it together with somebody. All right, so there's two things. If I could get you to do was to go home, have that conversation with God, talk to him. It may feel a bit funny, but just talk to him. I want you to do it verbally too, by the way. Verbalize it. Don't just do it in your mind. Verbalize it with him, okay? And then reconnect with some of your Christian friends and your leader and talk to them about it. Is that good? Awesome. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you that you care about us, Lord. You care about where we are spiritually, Lord, and that you want us to grow. You want us to flourish, Lord. You want us to bear fruit, Father God, and I just pray for everybody this morning that if we feel dry, if we feel disconnected, Lord, may we reconnect to the vine, Lord. May we flourish and may we grow, Lord, so that we can be used by you. Lord, as we go out this week, may you give us courage to speak your words of hope, Lord, to speak into people's lives, to shine your light, Jesus, with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.